Welcome to SCOTUS Cast, High Speed Chases in Reasonable Force Edition. Thank you for tuning in. On May 27, 2014, the Supreme Court issued its opinion in Plumoff v. Rickard. This case presented two questions. First, whether the Sixth Circuit wrongly denied qualified immunity to the police officers by analyzing whether the force used was supported by subsequent case decisions rather than prohibited by clearly established law at the time the force was used. And second, whether the Sixth Circuit further erred in holding the officer's use of force was not reasonable as a matter of law when the suspect led police officers on a high-speed pursuit that began in Arkansas and ended in Tennessee, weaved through traffic on an interstate at a high rate of speed, and made contact with the police vehicles twice, and used his vehicle in a final attempt to escape after he was surrounded by police officers, nearly hitting at least one police officer in the process. In an opinion delivered by Justice Alito, the court held that the officer's conduct did not violate the Fourth Amendment, and that even if it had, they would still be entitled to qualified immunity because they had violated no clearly established law. Chief Justice Roberts, as well as Justices Scalia, Kennedy, Thomas, Sotomayor, and Kagan, joined the opinion of the court. Justice Ginsburg joined as to the judgment in Parts 1, 2, and 3, and Justice Breyer joined except as to Part 3B2. The decision of the Sixth Circuit was reversed and the case was remanded. To discuss the case, we have Joshua Skinner, who is a member of Fanning, Harper, Martinson, Brandt, and Cutchin. As always, the Federalist Society takes no position on particular legal or public policy issues. All expressions of opinion are those of the speaker. And now, Mr. Skinner.
In Plumhoff v. Rickard, decided May 27th, the Supreme Court unanimously held that police officers who used deadly force against the driver of a fleeing vehicle were entitled to qualified immunity and dismissal of the claims against them. The court also held, though not unanimously, that the officers' conduct did not violate the Fourth Amendment. Around midnight on July 18th, 2004, Mr. Rickard was driving in West Memphis, Arkansas. He was pulled over by the police because the headlight on his car was out. The officer talked to him and asked him to get out of the car. Instead of complying, he fled towards Memphis. The police pursuit involved speeds in excess of 100 miles per hour and included swerving through traffic on into Tennessee and Memphis. Rickard ultimately got off the highway and into the city. In the city, he collided with a police car, spun around. The police quickly surrounded him on three sides. He backed up and began to flee on the unguarded side. As he was backing up, the police started shooting. They continued shooting as he began to flee. Ultimately, 15 shots were fired, killing Rickard. The bullets and the resulting crash also killed the passenger in the car. Rickard's family filed suit against the police officers. The officers filed a motion for summary judgment, asking the district court to dismiss the case without it having to go to trial. They argued that their conduct did not violate the Fourth Amendment, but that even if it did, the law was not clearly established at the time of the incident, and so they were entitled to qualified immunity. The district court denied the motion, and the officers took an immediate appeal. The Court of Appeals agreed with the district court and again denied the motion. However, the Supreme Court agreed to hear the case and reversed. At the Supreme Court, the United States government filed a brief in favor of the officers on their entitlement to qualified immunity, but did not take a position on the question of whether their conduct violated the Fourth Amendment. Now, this case involves both qualified immunity and Fourth Amendment issues. In terms of the Fourth Amendment generally protects the right of people to be secure in their persons against unreasonable searches and seizures. And more specifically, in this sort of context, it restricts the degree or type of force that police may use in apprehending criminal suspects. For example, if a police officer sees a child pick someone's pocket and run off, the officer can't simply shoot the child in the back. There's no danger to the officer, no danger to anyone else, and the offense is relatively minor. However, if it's an armed bank robber who's shooting at the police can certainly shoot back and attempt to kill the robber. Qualified immunity, the other important concept for this appeal, is a modern term for an old common law requirement that helps to protect public officials in the exercise of their duties unless they've acted in bad faith. And under its modern formulation, qualified immunity has two prongs. The first one, did the public official violate the plaintiff's constitutional right? And the second one, were the public official's actions objectively reasonable in light of clearly established law? So on the one hand, was there a Fourth Amendment violation? Did the police use excessive force? And on the second hand, was it clearly established in the law that that factual scenario would be a Fourth Amendment violation? The Supreme Court's decision ultimately granted qualified immunity and ruled for the officers under both those elements. They held both that there was no constitutional violation and that the law was not clearly established. This is what's called alternative arguments. And it's significant that they did this because they didn't have to. The court could have ruled on either one of those prongs, and that would have been sufficient in order to grant summary judgment to the officers. The plaintiff, Rickard's family, had to win on both those elements in order for the case to go forward. Now, normally, courts aren't supposed to make advisory opinions, so legal discussions that aren't necessary to the decision aren't usually binding on later courts. But one exception to that general principle is when the court issues an alternative basis for its decision. And that's what happened here. Either one of the bases for the decision is sufficient, but the court can issue both, and both of them then are binding here on out on lower courts. Justice Alito, at the beginning of his opinion, of the majority opinion, specifically refers to the fact that part of the argument is being made in the alternative. This is not what the United States government was asking for in its brief. It was hoping that the Supreme Court would perhaps grant qualified immunity to the officers because the law wasn't clear, but not decide the underlying Fourth Amendment issue. And they didn't really explain why, other than to say that this is a difficult area and they didn't think this was a good case for that decision. Justice Ginsburg apparently perhaps agreed, had some hesitation about the court's Fourth Amendment analysis, as she did not join any of that part of the opinion, and Justice Breyer didn't join part of it. But it's difficult to say exactly how they would have come out because they didn't issue any dissenting opinions. They just failed to join certain parts of the majority opinion. Before getting into the substance of the Fourth Amendment and qualified immunity analysis, the court had a jurisdictional issue to resolve. Normally, defendants in civil cases can't take an immediate appeal from the denial of their motion for summary judgment. They're required to go to trial and, assuming they lose, appeal after trial. However, there's an exception for qualified immunity cases. Qualified immunity is intended to be an immunity both from suit as well as from the ultimate liability. Since having to go to trial would essentially eliminate the immunity from suit, a public official whose assertion of qualified immunity has been denied can take an immediate appeal under what has been called the collateral order doctrine. While that's normally how it works in qualified immunity appeals, there was a Supreme Court case, Johnson v. Jones, that carved out an exception to that allowance for immediate appeals when the dispute was a purely factual dispute. And in the Johnson case, it was police officers who attempted to appeal the denial of their motion for summary judgment in an excessive force case, so very similar in certain ways. But the only dispute was about whether the specific officers were actually present when the plaintiff was beaten up allegedly by the police. There wasn't any real legal dispute about how the law worked or anything like that, just this factual dispute about whether these officers were actually present. And that's what the Supreme Court ultimately said, no, that kind of factual dispute can't be immediately appealed under the qualified immunity collateral order doctrine. But in a case like this, where there really is a real legal issue, that is the application of the Fourth Amendment to high-speed chases, the immediate appeal is permitted, even though there might be factual disputes that underlie or factual issues that underlie the Fourth Amendment issue. On the Fourth Amendment issue, though, the court held that the officers did not violate Rickard's Fourth Amendment rights. As I mentioned, Justice Ginsburg did not join any part of this section of the court's holding, and Justice Breyer only joined part of it. The Rickard family made two arguments. They argued that the police officers could not use deadly force to terminate the chase. There wasn't sufficient justification to move up to that level of use of force, and also that the degree of force used was excessive in that how long it continued on in terms of shooting 15 bullets. The court held that the police officers did not violate the Fourth Amendment by using deadly force to terminate the chase because, the court said, they may generally use deadly force to terminate a dangerous high-speed car chase based on a prior case, and that Rickard's excessive speed and swerving on the highway and his apparent intent to resume his flight justified the use of deadly force. Though not worded exactly this way, the court appears to be holding that a high-speed car chase is going to be generally dangerous by definition, and consequently generally will justify the use of deadly force. In this context, the use of firearms shooting at the person driving. The court also held that if the use of deadly force is permissible, the officers can keep using deadly force until the threat is over. This is the part of the opinion that Justice Breyer didn't join. The court held that since the officers were permitted to start shooting, it was permissible that they continue shooting until Rickard was stopped. That makes sense in a general way, and that would seem to be the obvious conclusion. If they can start shooting, they can keep shooting until they have a reason to stop. But Rickard's family had made the argument that there should be an exception here because there was an innocent third party, Rickard's passenger. The Supreme Court, however, the majority, 7 of the 9 justices, concluded that that didn't matter, that in terms of the Fourth Amendment rights of Rickard, it does not change the court's analysis that there was a danger to the innocent third party, the passenger in the car. Going on to the alternative argument that the Supreme Court made, they looked at qualified immunity and concluded that the officers were entitled to qualified immunity even if it had been a Fourth Amendment violation. And they used the phrase that's become frequent in qualified immunity decisions of whether the illegality of the conduct must be, quote, beyond debate. And the court really looked at two things. One was a 2004 decision by the U.S. Supreme Court holding that the law regarding the use of deadly force to stop a fleeing suspect was not clearly established. And they also looked to whether there was any intervening controlling authority or a robust consensus of cases of persuasive authority that would clearly establish that the use of force against Rickard violated the Fourth Amendment. The court pointed out that this is the burden on the Rickards family to prove, and that they had to either prove that 2004 decision was materially different, that 2004 decision didn't indicate that the law was not clearly established for purposes of Rickards' claim, or that there were intervening case law that changed the analysis, and that's a minimum threshold that they needed to prove in order to be able to begin to talk about whether the law was clearly established or not. Since the family was not able to do that, the court unanimously, because this part of the opinion was joined by all 9 justices, held that the officers were entitled to qualified immunity. In summary, the court, not surprisingly based on the briefing and the oral argument, concluded the officers are entitled to qualified immunity. The opinion provides some helpful language for qualified immunity analysis, as well as clarifies the standard for when public officials can take an immediate appeal. In addition, the court holds that deadly force may be used, generally speaking, in order to prevent the continuation of a high-speed chase, which will be very significant for police officers going forward.
Thank you for listening to this episode of SCOTUSCast. For more episodes of SCOTUSCast, as well as audio and video of past Federalist Society events, please visit our website at www.federalistsociety.org/multimedia.